Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Your Everyday Cyber Podcast with Limor Kesem and Diana Kelly. We live in a cyberspace almost all the time, but do we know enough about living in it securely? Join this dynamic duo as they take you through an exploration of daily cyber activities and how you can make better choices to make them secure for yourself and your family. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Welcome to Your Everyday Cyber. I'm Limor Kesem, a cybersecurity professional and advisor. My co-host is Diana Kelly, a cybersecurity expert who is the CTO and co-founder of Security Curb. Every day, people around the world buy cell phones, smartphones. You know, every year, there are billions of those devices being purchased. So in 2020, 1.3 billion devices were sold. And this year, we're not even halfway through the year, and already 1.5 billion devices were sold around the world.
It's crazy.
It's crazy numbers. More than people are born, you know?
Yeah.
And there are great choices of those to purchase, and each one will feature, you know, a different operating system. And people actually like, you know, kind of attaching to them. Sometimes, you know, there's a version built on a common one, like all the Android devices are basically built on Android, but there are different distributions and different skins and different, you know, choices that one can make. And the next big player in the game is, of course, Apple and all its iDevices, with the most purchases being iPhones. So if you ask an iPhone user what do they like most about it, many are going to say they like the operating system. It is a personal preference thing for me as well. And Apple also has this thing, it's like a walled garden. It provides apps only from one source, which is their app store. Nothing can be kind of downloaded into the phone from different places, including music and so on. Everything is from Apple sources. And it is known for keeping a rather tight lid on that source, which makes it more secure, essentially, but also more limited in many senses. So it comes down to what you like more or what you value more, I suppose. Diana, what do you think?
Absolutely. You know, the platform and the hardware that people like, it's like such a personal choice. Sometimes it's even just color. Like I saw those new Macs that are purple and I was like, oh, pretty. But, you know, and I use iOS devices, you know, I use iPhones and iPads. I also use Android devices. I use Mac. So, you know, people just, it gets very personal about which one they want, but there are a ton of iPhone and iPad users out there. And all of them are really, really anxious to understand what just happened when Apple recently updated its mobile operating system. According to them, they did this for privacy and to give people a choice, but there have been a lot of really interesting articles addressing what that truly means when you dig in. So it's really going to be interesting to learn a little bit more about what's happening with personal data, especially with this iOS update.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the users that know about this, they're happy about it. Others are not aware of it just yet. Maybe they didn't update. Some of them don't know what it entails or don't fully understand why other major tech companies are pretty peeved by this news. So to give us all some clarity about this, we are so happy to have Kate O'Flaherty on the show today. Kate is a security and privacy journalist, and she has her fingers on the pulse of everything that happens in that sphere. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Kate, Apple recently, you know, released this new version of the operating system. It's called iOS 14.5, and that features an important change in how apps can track users. Can you tell us a little bit about what changed from before this update?
Yeah, absolutely. So Apple in iOS 14.5 has introduced something that it calls app tracking transparency. In a nutshell, what that is users have to opt in to tracking across other apps and websites. So basically, this isn't about just the collection of data. This is where apps will track you across other apps and websites. Previously, this was something that you could opt out of, but you didn't have to opt into it as such.
So I have a lot of apps on my device. Does this mean that I have to either opt out of them individually or do I have to opt back in? Like, how is this going to work on the new version of iOS?
Yeah, how this works is you receive a pop-up when you go into an app, and this pop-up will say, do you want this particular app? Say it's Facebook, because this is the one that we've probably heard quite a lot about in the media. Allow Facebook to track you across other apps and websites. So on this pop-up, there'll be the choice. It will either be allow or don't allow to track. And obviously, it will be up to you to then decide. This comes up per app. So you can wait for these to come up, or you can go into your settings and you can blanket turn this off if you don't want anyone to track you. So you don't have to keep, you know, being bombarded by pop-ups if you don't want to.
Cool. I know I did that. So almost all apps track data about us, and that some of those apps are like Facebook's and the other parts of Facebook. So Instagram, WhatsApp, all these other apps also track us when we're not even using that application. What will change at this point? Can like families of apps still track us amongst themselves? So if I have a Facebook app, then, you know, all the other things will have my data as well?
No, that's not going to happen now if you opt out of it. So basically what this is about specifically, as I mentioned before, is not about the data they collect. So they still will be allowed to collect data themselves, but they won't be able to track you across other apps and websites. So this is most kind of useful, I guess, to bring Facebook into it. So Facebook has advertisers and they will show you adverts on Facebook, and Facebook is collecting data about how you are browsing on other websites and across apps as well. So on your iPhone, so this doesn't kind of blanket turn this off when you're, say, online normally using a laptop or a PC. But on your iPhone, if you say no to tracking by Facebook, therefore the data will not be given by other apps and services, if you see what I mean. This is all done using something called the identifier for advertisers. So if you have not opted out of tracking, or you've opted into tracking, or previously, this identifier for advertisers is basically a unique code that is assigned to every single iPhone user. And that unique code, although it isn't actually kind of identifying them themselves, it identifies them as a particular user. So that code will allow them, for example, to see how well campaigns might have done, or if you have downloaded an app after receiving an advert for it. So this is kind of how they're using this identifier for advertisers to track you. Following this change by Apple, if an app requests to track you and you say no, it will be a series of zeros that's given to the app developer instead of this unique code. So basically, they do not track you via the identifier for advertisers anymore.
Got it. So I'm curious, what's stopping an app developer from tracking me anyway? Is it possible that they might not abide by Apple's rules?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case. The only thing that Apple can technically stop you from doing, as in it has the technical power to do so, is the zeros that I talked about instead of the identifier for advertisers. So because this is an iPhone unique code, they can withhold this from the developer. And that is what happens, you know, on the back end when this is going on. But unfortunately, there are other ways of tracking people, something called fingerprinting, which is where identifying kind of information can be used to track somebody instead of the identifier for advertisers. There is no kind of proof that this is actually happening, but there have been concerns that this could be happening now, or that people might try and do that. It's against App Store policy. So if Apple discovers that people are doing this, it can stop them from doing it, and it can potentially throw them out of the App Store if they're a repeat offender.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wrote some great articles about this version, and even an update came later from Apple, I think a week later. There are some apps that I want to enable tracking for, you know. How can I check my settings to ensure that I'm getting asked about the tracking? So is it the same like blanket toggle? How does it work?
Yeah, so the blanket toggle that I talked about earlier, which is the allow apps to request to track. So that can be found in your privacy settings. If you go to privacy and then to tracking, and within that, there is this toggle. If you have that toggle turned off, you will never be asked. Basically, when it's turned off, every single app will be given the no, this person does not want to be tracked. And that can be enforced, as I spoke about before, that the identifier for advertisers will not be collected. If you do want to be tracked, you can turn that on. But from my experience and from the experience of many others, because when this launched, it was a bit like, oh, what's going on? Why am I not being asked to track? Because I previously had this setting turned off and I turned it back on again. So it's not totally clear whether if you just turn it on, you're going to suddenly get all these alerts, because first of all, not all apps have created their alert yet. They have to have an iOS specific alert. So it has to be not their own one, because we've seen like some completely differently designed ones. It has to be the same design, which is an iOS specific one. And I've also heard from some sources that if you had the request to track off previously, the apps would have already been given that instruction. So it would only be on new apps that you could then allow them to track you. That's my understanding, though, not 100% sure.
Right, always fluid. Kate, is there any downside to saying blanket, don't track me, I don't want any tracking? Why would somebody not just go ahead and what would we miss out on if we said don't track?
Well, if you care about your privacy, you're not missing out on anything. You are becoming more private. Your advertising will be less relevant to you. So your advertising will be less personalized. The apps will be like making less money. So there is though the downside that they could end up having to charge for their apps, because obviously apps have to make money somehow. They often make money through data. If they're not making money through data, they're like, well, where am I going to get the money from now? So there is that threat, and that could happen in the future.
That's the EM part of the freemium, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really good to see these additional privacy options for users, and we hope that other companies will follow suit. But beyond this change, you as a journalist following, you know, iOS and privacy and security, what are your recommendations for our listeners on three things that they can do to boost their privacy on their Apple devices?
Sure. Okay. Well, the first thing, which I have said before, but it's probably good to reiterate this here, that in the tracking settings, go into tracking, allow apps request to track, and just turn that off, because therefore you have given them the blanket instruction, every app on your phone, not to track you across other apps and services. So that's great. The other thing would be to go into each app and check your individual permissions on that app, and check that the permissions haven't been granted for things that you wouldn't necessarily need to allow an app. So not all apps need access to your camera, for example, but a lot of them will request them. A lot of them will request access to your location as well, which you definitely don't want to be giving out unless you need to. There is also the ability within iOS to choose whether you just provide your location when using the app. So if you use apps like Deliveroo or Google Maps or whatever, and you want to just give them access when you're using them, which would make sense, you can actually turn that on in your privacy settings too. There's another setting, which is called approximate location as well, which allows apps to see your approximate location rather than your specific location. So I think I'm on 4 now, but yeah, that's a useful tool within iOS, definitely, that you can use. I mean, finally, the other thing I would say as well is, be careful of like how many apps you're downloading as well, because at the end of the day, most of them will collect your data. You can check the app privacy labels, which is a new thing as well in iOS 14 in the iOS App Store, Apple App Store. And you can say, well, maybe I'll choose something that isn't collecting so much data as another app. But if you don't need to use an app, for example, maybe you don't need the Gmail app. So you could use the mail client and put your Gmail on there. So if you use Gmail, that's going to be less data leakage as well. Same with Facebook. If you don't need to, why have Facebook as an app on your phone? A lot of people are trying to maybe delete Facebook or maybe just use it a bit less. If so, just use it on your browser, on your PC. Don't carry it around with you on your phone where you're using it all the time, and where the app is also kind of taking data if you give it permission to do so.
That is true. And I find this so useful because it's very, you know, stuff that I do. And one of the cool things that I liked is about a year ago, somewhere in March 2020, you wrote an article about an application called Lockdown. That's an application that reveals who's tracking you. I put it on my phone since then and I am not removing it. So I really like that app. That has been super useful to me. And it stopped companies from tracking me even if I don't have the app on my phone. So Facebook used to track me a lot. Google used to track me a lot. And that has been mostly blocked. The side effect is that you're not going to be able to access stuff that comes from ads or stuff, but I mean, you could go to the actual website that you want, and I think it's worth it. So thank you for that article as well.
No worries. And Lockdown, I'm not being paid by them in any way. I just thought they are really brilliant, and I use it myself. And actually, it was started by one of the guys who's an ex-Apple engineer. So he kind of really knows his iOS.
Yeah, precisely.
Privacy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kate. We're really glad that you were on the show today and helped us understand more about privacy update that's been kind of shaking the tech world, but also applies to just so many consumers out there. And thank you all, our audience, for being with us today. I hope this episode was helpful to you and it's going to entice you to learn more. Please follow the podcast and get involved. You can reach out to us on Twitter at @cyber_everyday. We're on LinkedIn if you want to send us some questions and topics. And you can also email us at youreverydaycyber@securitycurve.com. Our podcast page has more details for you and resources from each episode, including information about the new privacy update to Apple's iOS operating system. And on our next episode, we're going to dive deeper into even more privacy for you. So please check out our episode on cookies for the next time that we air an episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in, and please stay safe out there.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Your Everyday Cyber Podcast with Limor and Diana. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.